Do you know why we do worship on Sunday mornings? Initially, of course, because that's the morning that Jesus resurrected, that the tomb was empty. And so we gather on Sundays to remember that our story is a resurrection story. But also, it just so happens that Sunday is the first day of the week. And so the first morning of the first day of the week, we come back to this place that centers us in remembering who we really are and who God really is, and seeking to begin a new day and a new week, walking with Him, leaning on Him, receiving His love, and sharing that love with great generosity in the days to come. We are learning these last few weeks about who we are in God, what our names really are. We've learned that our name is Beloved Child of God. And last week, we heard that our name was, we are clay in the hands of a good potter. And so we are good enough because His grace is enough. And today, our name is redeemed. With that in mind, hear these words from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning, we join the chorus of the people of Israel and we proclaim our God has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. We remember that you are a God who constantly is bringing us back home to be with you, to rest in you and to know you and to really, really love you. You are a God who just keeps redeeming us until we are fully yours. And so this morning, as we sing songs and rejoice, and as we lift up our prayers and seek to find our home with you, and as we open your word and seek to hear from you, would you be honored and would you be glorified? And would you send us from this moment of worship a little while from now, with hearts and tongues that are singing out, the Lord continues to do great things for us, and we, His people, are full of joy. Abba, Father, we, your children, now turn to your word because we need to hear from you. And so would you open our hearts with the help of your Spirit. Open our ears to hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so that you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. To redeem, what does that mean? Webster says that it is to regain possession of something in exchange for some kind of payment. I follow a Facebook group of Washington hikers, has like 100,000 people in it. And early last week, one of the guys in the group lost his golden retriever, Bella, on one of the mountains in the Cascades. And he put out this message to the whole group and saying, if any of you guys are going to be in this area, please keep your eye out for my dog, Bella. He said, it's not like her. She never gets out of sight. And all of a sudden, she was just gone. He spent the whole day up on the mountain looking for Bella until he couldn't see anymore. He left some clothes behind so she might smell him and come back. He went back the next day, spent the entire day from sunrise to sunset looking for Bella, calling for Bella, getting friends together to come and find Bella. After the second day, everyone in the group began to think things were probably not looking good for Bella. Maybe she had run off after a chipmunk and gotten lost, or Even worse things, of course, came to mind. On the third day, he woke up and he just could not bear the thought of her out there on that mountain. So he went back out, started looking for Bella, went back to that spot where he last saw her. And there, for the first time, he noticed this really steep ledge. And he looked over the ledge and way down the mountain, there was Bella, stuck on this little ledge down the mountain, just laying there wet and injured, but alive. Rather than wait for the rescue team to get there, this dad couldn't wait to be reunited with his golden retriever pup, and so he found some crazy way to mosey down to that ledge and to pick up his dog, and he carried her over his shoulders all the way back down the mountain. And he got back to his car and did this video for this whole Facebook group to see. And he was just in tears, and he said, "Thank you for your prayers and for your help and for all your encouraging stories, saying, 'Go back, she's probably still alive, go back.'" He said, "Here she is, and she's home. We're going to the vet, and then she's coming back home with me." And all of Facebook land rejoiced. He redeemed her, brought her back to where she belongs. I don't know about you, but I really like the TV show Pawn Stars. That might be surprising to you, but it's amazing. You get little historical facts. It's good stuff. And I've learned a lot about this whole pawn world through the show Pawn Stars. And I realize that most people just come and want some quick money and leave their thing behind. But when people want to pawn their thing, when they have something and they just kind of are in a bind in life and they need some money pretty quick, what they'll do is they'll find something that's valuable to them. And they'll take it to the pawn store and they'll say, "You know, if you'll keep this for however many months, my hope is to come back when I have more cash and to redeem it, to buy back my thing and take it back home where it belongs." Redeem, it's to regain possession of something. It is to bring it home. Did you know that the story of God and us is nothing less than one big redemption story? It's God doing what must be done to bring us back home. You see, all of our stories start in the same place, that garden, at home with our God. He created not just Adam and Eve, but he created all of us to know him intimately and to walk with him and to see him and to love him and to rest and to work and to play in real intimate fellowship with him. We were created for the garden, to be with our God. Our story was meant to be a story of a people completely at home with their God. And the story gets messed up, like way back at the beginning, in the very third chapter, Genesis 3. Adam and Eve decide that they're going to try out a life outside of the garden. And from that page in Genesis 3, which is like right here, all the way until this page, forget the maps, it's like Revelation 22, which is like right here. All of this in between is a redemption story. A story of a God who is making a way for us to know this beautiful place with him again. And so when we finally get to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, we get this glimpse of what John sees in this great vision. And it's this beautiful picture of God back at home in the garden with his people. Hear these words, Revelation 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. On each side of the river stood the tree of life." Sound familiar? Back in Genesis. "The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. You see, at the end of the story, Eden is restored, redeemed. The story that began in a garden, the people with their God, it ends in a brand new garden city with that God and the Lamb Jesus on their thrones and the tree of life back in place, giving off fruit left and right. The people are back home with their God, and they're free once and for all from anything that ever kept them from him. All the curses are gone, it says. Lies are gone. Separation's gone. A new garden. The people with God. The Lamb who's sitting on that throne bought back our tainted stories. Paid the price. To bring us home, right back to the God that we never should have left in the first place. And you know, in between these two garden stories from Genesis to Revelation, God's not just sitting back in heaven somewhere, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the day it'll be okay. But all along the way, God is busy. He is so busy redeeming all of our individual stories and all the little scenes within them all along the way. Remember Joseph? The 11th of Jacob's 12 sons, his father's favorite. Remember him? He had that dream that he would rule over his brothers one day. And he didn't exercise the best wisdom in what to do with that dream. So he went to the older brothers and said, I'm going to rule over you one day. They didn't celebrate. Naturally, what they did is they took their younger brother and threw him in a pit so that he might die. Instead, he was found by slave traders. For the next years of his life, he ends up a slave, and then he ends up a prisoner in the king's dungeon. This guy who had this dream. And eventually, through all these twists and turns in this crazy redemption story, Joseph ends up the second in charge of the entire nation of Egypt, just in time for famine to hit. Thanks to Joseph's dreams, Egypt has grain stored up, and guess who comes looking for help? But his brothers, yes, the ones who had left him for dead. And in one of the most powerful scenes in the entire scripture story, when these brothers have to meet Joseph face to face, Joseph declares out loud, what you all meant for evil to me, God meant for good. What you meant to destroy my dreams, God meant as the very means by which his dreams in me would come to be. They all thought that his story was done. He was just that annoying little brother who couldn't keep his mouth shut. They didn't know about the Redeemer God, who's always in the work of reclaiming our stories, even when they're in the depths of a pit. They didn't know about this God who's always saying, you know, I'm just going to keep writing until this story has you back in the garden, back home with me. Remember Job? We heard from him a little bit earlier. Before those words that he says in the chapter we read, Job is this guy who loses everything. His children die. His home is destroyed. His health is taken from him. His wife tells him, why don't you just curse God and die? And his friends, they all come around and they just want to try to fix him rather than care for him. Job is one who has seen this beautiful life story turn belly up just like that. When everything that was supposed to be was broken and ruined in his life, Job somehow cried out, and yet I know that my Redeemer lives. and he will stand on the earth, and I will see God with my own eyes. What he's saying in this place as he cries out is, I know the one who wrote my story into being will just keep writing it until I'm back in the garden as I was meant to be. Until I'm back with my God where all that's broken is made beautiful again. Job knew in the depths of his being that when God showed up in his life, his devastating story could be healed, could be changed in a second if his Redeemer chose for it to be. And so in his hurt, he waits for the Redeemer God to bring him back to the garden, to bring him back home where it would never hurt so bad again. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? Luke 8 tells us that Jesus sent 7 demons out of her. 7 demons. We write people off when they have 1 demon. Mary had 7. Her story, good as done. Who could overcome 7 demons? Let's just imagine what their names might have been together. We don't know, it's just for fun. Maybe there was one that was called addiction. That one demon alone is enough to get some people to give up on their story altogether. She still had 6 more. What if another was called depression, despair, resentment, abuse, anxiety, abandonment, thoughts of harm. Whatever they were, Jesus shows up one day and he reclaims this dear lady's story, regains possession of it, takes it back from those who never had a right to it in the first place. And you know what happened when he did that? Mary Magdalene became one of his most faithful disciples. All of a sudden, you just see her with Jesus wherever he is. She never lets him out of sight, it seems. She's one of the few who sticks by the cross all the way until he takes his very last breath. When everybody else ran away, there Mary Magdalene was. And you know what happened on that first Easter morning? She was the first one to the tomb to see it empty. To hear the risen Jesus call her name. The first one to see Jesus alive. And you know where she met him? In the garden. That's why she thought he was the gardener. You think that was an accident? No. Our Redeemer God and all that he's doing, he's bringing us back to the garden. He brought Mary back to the garden. He said, you see me alive, Mary. I'm giving you a mission, sending you out of this garden into this world to tell my people who I am. Now that you're back with me where you were always supposed to be. Mary's story, totally redeemed. You see, I could spend all day telling you hundreds of more of these because the Bible is jam-packed with them. It is one big redemption story of this God who just keeps showing up when folks have been written off, and he just keeps picking them back up, and he just keeps loving them back to him, and then he just keeps meeting them in this garden place and then sending them out on these adventures with him now by their side. Over and over in the epistles, Paul tells us that Jesus is our great Redeemer. That Lamb of God, whose death on the cross somehow in some mysterious way bought back all of our stories. Jesus is that one whose death and resurrection told the world that the worst things in our lives will never, ever be the last things. For his children. Not if the grave is overcome and life gets the final say. Jesus says, I've come to redeem them, to take their stories back, every last detail of every last one, until they are with me in the garden place, my children at home with their God, every curse destroyed that might keep them from Him once and for all. My friends, we've got a Redeemer. We are redeemed. We left our home. We still leave our home over and over again. But our Redeemer says we can move back in whenever we want. There's still room for us. We have a Redeemer. We are redeemed. Can I share just a few more redemption stories with you? With the intention that in proclaiming that if Jesus is so busy redeeming these ones, He's got to be just as busy redeeming you and all those parts of your story that aren't quite back in the garden with Him yet. You guys all know our friend Tina. I hope she's participating in worship with us right now. And Tina will share her story with anyone who asks. So I have confidence she's fine with me sharing it right here. She's got a beautiful story. And you know, there was a day not that long ago when Tina's story seemed done. Addiction had taken its toll. She had lost just about everything to it. But she would tell you that Jesus wouldn't let her forget her real story quite so easily. Just kept putting people in her path that would invite her to another way. And by His grace, He somehow gave her the courage to choose that way, as hard and as impossible as it seemed some days, and still seems many days. And you know, a few months ago in the fort in our youth center, there was some concern that one of the teenagers may have had drugs on him during the gathering that evening. And the leaders were talking amongst themselves about how to address this. And would I tell you, Tina was the first one to step up. And she said, "You know what, next time we meet, I've got to tell these kids my story." She said, "I've got to tell them right now, before they get too far down this path, about the path of life that overcomes the path of addiction every time." And that very next week, she gathered them around and she said, "You guys, let me tell you my story about my Redeemer, God." You see, if you would have told Tina just 7 years ago that she would be the one leading our teenagers to love Jesus and to fight the darkness that confronts them in this place, she may have told you, "Yeah, right, my story's been written." And if not her, then others around her might have been the ones to say it for her. Once an addict, always an addict. Tina's story is done. But you know, they wouldn't have known about our Redeemer God, who never stops reclaiming a story of one of His children until they're back in His garden sowing life with Him. My friend Tina is redeemed. And her story is beautiful. My friend Terry, he preached here in this place back in March before we all had to scatter. And that morning right here, he told a bit of his story of losing his beloved son to suicide just a couple of years ago. What he didn't tell you was that in that same year that he lost his son, he retired from being a pastor. And so, in essence, he lost this calling and this role that gave him so much life and so much joy and so much purpose. And he didn't tell you that the exact same month that he lost his son, his dear brother also passed away. Three excruciating losses altogether. Grief more than anyone could bear. And there was a time that those of us who loved Terry wondered if he would ever know life on the other side of grief again. And I'll tell you, as one of them, for a moment, I forgot that Terry has a Redeemer. He has a Jesus who never stops writing a story that's riddled by those curses outside the garden, curses like death and despair. He never stops writing those stories until he's got his beloved children back in that garden where those curses are no more. And I'll tell you, Terry's heart still hurts many days. Of course it does. And yet he shows up every week leading a grief ministry to dear ones in Shelton, helping others through their own dark valleys of loss. And he's leading a trip to the Holy Land as soon as he's able to share with others what it's like to be where Jesus walked. He's leading hearts to Jesus even still, 2 years after the greatest losses you could imagine tried to take him down. Because Terry's God is a redeemer. And Terry is redeemed. That means even after great loss, his story is still being written until he's in that garden with Jesus for good. I've got a friend whose husband left her for someone else after 30 years. She messaged me after it happened and she said, "You know, I'm just done with relationships. I am done with love. The betrayal was just too devastating." And then about a month ago, another message. "So, Jamie, there's this guy. I'm wondering," she said, "if my heart might actually get to love again. A redeemer God, reclaiming the parts of our stories that aren't as they should be and making them beautiful again. Still writing those stories until we are back in the garden with him, where we only know what it is to love and to be loved well. My friend is being redeemed." One of my favorite preachers, Fred Craddock, tells this story about a day he and his wife were eating in a restaurant in Tennessee, and they were on vacation, and this man walked up to the table. He said, What is your name? What do you do?" When Fred said he was a preacher, this guy said, "Oh, can I tell you a preacher story?" He said, "There's a little boy who grew up in the mountains right over there. You can see him out the window." He said, "That little boy grew up with a single mom, never knew his dad. Said, oh, his whole childhood long, people would ask him, 'Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?' He hated that question. They called him names." He said, "This little boy began to hide out at recess and sit alone at lunch just to avoid that question, 'Who's your daddy?'" Said one day a new preacher came to town. And this little boy, 12 years old, he would sit on the back row, come in late, and before the benediction started, he would sneak out to avoid the question from the new preacher, "Who's your daddy?" Said, but one day, the benediction was extra short, took him by surprise. And before he could get out, he felt that new preacher's hand on his shoulder. That preacher said, "Son, who's your daddy?" And he said he felt the silence come over the congregation. Every eye was staring at him. The tension in the room was thick. And this preacher was aware enough of what had just happened to recognize what story had been told this little boy. And he said, "Oh, now I see it. I look at you and I see the resemblance now." He said, "You are a child of God." And he patted that boy on the shoulder and he said, "My boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." And as this guy began to leave the restaurant, he looked back at Fred Craddock and his wife and said, "You know, I probably would have never amounted to anything if nobody had ever told me that I was a child of God." Fred asked the waitress, "Do you know who that was?" And she said, "Well, yeah, that was Ben Hooper. He was the governor of Tennessee not that long ago." Ben Hooper met his Redeemer, the one who claims and reclaims our stories until we're back in that garden home with him. Reading a book just a couple weeks ago called Love Over Fear, and it told a story of a woman, Shauna Hodges. She's a black woman, a single mother, and her neighbor, his name is Mike. He's a retired veteran, a grandfather, lives alone. And the two of them had always been on different pages politically, but never really in conflict. Except one morning, Shauna looked out the window and saw that Mike had hung a Confederate flag from his home. And it really bothered Shauna. She couldn't look at the flag and not think of slavery every time she saw it. And she didn't want her kids having to grow up looking at that flag. And so she went to her church prayer group and asked them to just help her pray for wisdom on what to do about this. She was so unsettled. So a few days later, she went to Mike's door and rang the doorbell. He wouldn't answer. So she left a note and just said, "Hi, neighbor. I'd like to have a cup of coffee with you. And maybe we could talk about that flag." He didn't respond. So one day, she caught him when he was outside. He made it clear he had no interest in meeting with her. She said, "Mike," she said, "I'm not your enemy." She said, "I just want to talk." He said, "Fine, tomorrow." So the next day, she baked some muffins, showed up at his house, walked in. For an hour, they talked about the pictures of the grandkids and about her kids, about his time in the military and about her work and her life. And they talked about the flag. And she shared a little bit of why it hurt her. And Mike said, "I'll take it down if you want. Doesn't make a lick of sense to me, but I'll take it down." When it came down a few days later, she sent him a care package with a blueberry pie and a note that just said, "Thank you, it means so much to me." Would you know, over the next year, the two of them became friends. When it snowed, Mike would be the first one to shovel her sidewalk for her. And he even offered to watch her kids if she ever got in a bind with childcare. And would you know, she actually took him up on it a few times. And one of those times, standing in her living room, kind of awkward, Mike said, "You know, Shauna, I've been thinking about the flag." And he said, "I get it now." He said, "Honestly, Shauna, it took me a while to get it, because it turns out when I looked at my life, you're the very first black person I've ever been friends with. I'm sorry it took me a while to get it, but now I get it." You see, his story was changing. Mike and Shauna were getting to know this God who redeems, this Jesus who never leaves a story alone so long as there is still division in that story. The world would say that Mike and Shauna were too different. Just leave them alone to live their own lives. Jesus said, "I'm reclaiming that story, and I'm still working it out until Mike and Shauna are in the same garden with the living God, sharing home together for eternity with me." My friends, if Jesus the Redeemer is redeeming Tina and Terry and my friend and Ben Hooper and Mike and Shauna, then this same Jesus must also be redeeming you, taking your story back, all of it, bringing you home in every place you've run away, making your life what he wrote it out to be, every scene of it, beautiful and good. So I ask you this morning, what's still a little broken in your life? Good news. Your Redeemer lives. And he's still working on taking that back. Redeeming you. What's still keeping you far from that garden home with God? Good news. Your Redeemer lives, and he's still repaving that road between your heart and his home. Even still, he is still redeeming you. What false labels are you still believing about who you are? Good news. Your Redeemer lives, and he's the author of your story. And he will keep renaming you until you believe it's true. He is redeeming you. What past mistakes and failures still bring you this great sense of shame? Good news, your Redeemer lives. And he's asking you to let him have those once and for all so he can make them a beautiful chapter in a story that is meant for good. He is redeeming you. So So this morning, you can say, hello, my name is redeemed because my Redeemer lives and he's not done rewriting my story yet. He will go to every effort to find me on those ledges and reclaim me. Every place that I have slipped, he will step down and he will pick me up. And in every way that I've run off chasing my own dreams, he will just keep coming back until I let him find me and carry me home. My Redeemer just keeps redeeming, taking back bit by bit what is rightfully his until every part of us is back in that garden, back home with him. That place we were never supposed to leave. That place that still has room for me. Jesus redeems. He takes our stories back. My name is redeemed. Jesus is finding me. He's paid the price to have me. And he's carrying me home. I am redeemed. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, every one of us has strayed from home with you in different ways. And yet in this very moment, you're reclaiming us, every last one, making a way for us to return and be with you. With every fiber of our beings, with every chapter in our stories, you're asking us to trust all of these things at home with you. You will make them beautiful. You will make them good. You will free them from every curse. So here we are, O great Redeemer. Have us. Bring us home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.